Morning to everyone. Appreciate each one that's here this morning. I'm glad to be here. I don't get to do this on your all-day meeting. I think this is the second time I've done this. And so we desire your prayers. We need the Lord. I have a lot on my heart. I need the Lord to bring it out. Why don't we look to the Lord in a word of prayer, please? Our Father, which art in heaven, we come to you this morning to thank you for being God. We thank you, Lord, this morning for your people and the privilege of being with your people. Lord, for a long time now, I've had a connection, a life with the people of God. I count that a high honor. Now, Lord, you see we're here by your help to preach your word. We need your help this morning. We need your anointing. We need your liberty and freedom. We need you to rebuke the devil. Devil, we rebuke you fully in the name of Jesus. You don't have a lot or part in this service anyway. Get on out of here and down the road. And we're looking to you, Lord, that you'll help us. We need you desperately this morning. We have so much to say, but we don't have all day to say it. So, Lord, we ask you to have mercy and bring out everything you want said, and we ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. We want to talk on a subject this morning. Now, this is not what I call a Palm Sunday message, but I'm going to give you what I've had on my heart for several days. Desire your prayers. That the Lord will help us. The mind of Christ. As I've dug into this, I found this to be a large subject. A man be anointed, he can preach for hours on this subject. Don't get excited. I don't plan to keep you all afternoon. But I want to start in Philippians. I'll start in Philippians, the second chapter, and the first verse, Philippians 2 and 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels in mercy, fulfill you my joy, that you may be like-minded, having the same love, being one accord of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind. We need the mind of Christ. Matter of fact, it isn't a something you might think about. It's an absolute. You and I need the mind of Christ. We need it every day. When I was doing the GC work of the building project, the Fellowship Hall in Shawnee on the chapel down there, I had a group of people that I knew more than I did about building. And I had them kind of as a cabinet, so to speak, and I would use them. If I had any questions, if I run into any problems, I was on the phone saying, what about this, what about that? Well, there was times that the first one I called would refer me to somebody else. That one might refer me to another person. And then I might get three answers out of, in other words, I might call two or three different ones, not that they referred me, that I might call them. And they would say, well, this and this and this and this and this and this and this. And I got three or four answers out of the deal. I have never called Christ, so to speak, and had him refer me to anybody else. He's got the mind, folks, for you and I, no matter what we need, what we have to deal with. There's problems, troubles. We're living in a world right now that's the biggest mess I've ever seen in my life. And it is pitiful what is going on. But listen, folks, Christ has the answer, no matter what it is. He's able to deal with it. He's able to work with it. He's able to help you and I. If we get distraught, we get discouraged. If we just flat say, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to say. The Lord has the answer for you and I. He is able to help us to know what to do. I'm going to tell you one of the hardest things that you can ever deal with is to walk up to a person that's lost a loved one and know what to say. There was somebody that had lost a loved one. It was one of my comforters is who it was. And they lost, somebody had lost one. And they went in there to the visitation that night. And they said, Carl, I did not know what to say. I didn't know what to do. Listen, folks, you and I are limited. Our minds are only so big. But we have the avenue of a God in heaven. And listen, thank the Lord, we've got somebody that can help you and I. Bless you and I. Lead us, guide us, work with us. He can do anything we need him to do. And he can answer so easy. I've had him just do things down through the years that it just was, I just looked at it and it's beautiful. Yes, Lord, thank you. I was looking, searching for an answer, and he had it just like that. The mind of Christ. Lord, help you and I to strive to have the mind of Christ this morning. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, this is exactly what everybody wants that wants to control people. They want the people to think like they want them to think. Hitler, Joseph Smith. If you can get a person to think like you can think, you can get them to do anything you want them to do. This reason can be used for both good and evil people, and people can become puppets to the wrong ways. But here in Philippians 2 and 5, the brother's exhorting us to have the mind of Christ, which is the greatest privilege we can have. Listen, I've never shook the hand of a president. I've never been real close. I've seen one time when President Kennedy was president, he had a motorcade and Mama had us down there, and I got to see him, so to speak, in a motorcade. I've been in D.C. with Earl, and Earl and I was there. And evidently the president was leaving town or coming into town. You should have heard all the noise. I said, Earl, I said, if I wanted to protect him, I think I'd keep everything real quiet. Instead, they was making all kinds of racket. Well, no matter how big a queen, king, president, senator, I've met a senator or two, whatever, they've never done for me what this man named Jesus has done. Never has. Oh, it's the greatest privilege, saints. Can I get us to help us to see how great a privilege this is? A privilege that passes all other privileges, that will do for us what nobody else will do. The mind of Christ is a big subject, and it is impossible to have and to know his mind. There's people that are very smart, but can't convey it very well. But if it were in earnest, he can help us to have the mind of Christ. How can we know the mind of Christ? By his spirit, the word of God, prayer, meditation, reading the word, fasting, praying, songs of God, and also by going to the services of God. It is very important to have the mind of Christ. You will have the mind of Christ, or you will have the mind of the devil, or you will have a mind of flesh. People have their own mind on certain things, and so does Christ. We'll be wise to always know the mind of the Lord through life above our own desires. One of the greatest desires of Christ is for us to understand and to do his mind. The mind of Christ is always the same everywhere, and that is teaching mankind the very same thing, so as to bring us all to the same place and to the same end, the mind of Christ. He wants us to have this mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. All right, let's go to Jeremiah 19. Let's look this morning a little bit on some things about the mind of Christ and what he thinks, what he did, how he did it. And then I'm going to land up on something that is, well, the Lord gave me this message back, what was it, a year ago? Yeah, it was about a year ago, a little over. And I preached it two or three times, and I was down in Holly Hill where I used to live, and we, wife and I, spent a lot of time there in March and April last year, and then in the fall we were down there for over a month, and I was preaching down there every Sunday. And so I was looking to the Lord one night about a message, and the Lord took what I had preached and he expanded it and just about blew my mind, so to speak. He showed me stuff I didn't even think about, hadn't even thought about. And we're going to get into one of those in a little bit. All right, 19th of Jeremiah and the first verse. Thus saith the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen bottle and take it to the ancients of the people and the ancients of the priest, and go forth into the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate, to proclaim there the words, and I shall tell thee. And say, hear ye the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I'll bring evil upon this place, that whichsoever heareth his ears shall tingle, because they have forsaken me, and have estranged this place, and have burned incense in it unto other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with blood of innocents. They have built also the high places of Baal, to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came it into my mind. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that this place shall be no more be called Topet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. Now then, the Lord has things. He's not out here thinking of evil things. He's not out here thinking of other gods. In other words, these people were looking, and the Jews got into a deal where ever so often they drifted off into idolatry, and they were doing things that were absolutely grievous to the mind of God. And so he's saying, this doesn't come into my mind. This is not the mind that I have. I am not interested in these kind of things. Today, the Lord is interested in holiness, righteousness, and godliness. He's interested in leading people to places that they've never been. Listen, folks, you think you've been someplace. You think you've learned some things. And I'm talking about all of us here. But the bottom line is, there's higher heights and deeper depth for everyone in here. You and I can have the mind and learn more and more and more. One minister one time that I had a lot of confidence in, worked with him for a number of years before he died, and he's been here in this chapel, and I'm thinking of Shawnee when I'm down there. He's down there with me in Shawnee some. And he would come and he would give us Bible lessons and so forth. Well, he'd been here. He'd done it while I was here too, come to think about it. But anyway, he told me one time that there's some scriptures in Ephesians, and he said it took him several years to learn, to get the mind of Christ of what that meant. And I looked at him and I thought, you, as smart as you are, the intelligence you've got, but listen, folks, the Lord don't reveal everything to us and give us everything overnight. He goes by line by line, precept by precept, here a little, there a little. He does it over a period of time. He doesn't just drop. You and I can't handle everything at one time. So he gives it a little here and a little there. 29th chapter of Jeremiah, the 8th verse, 29 and 8 of Jeremiah. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams, which ye cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I'll visit you. I'll perform my good word toward you in causing you to return in this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I'll turn away your captivity. I'll gather you from all the nations and from all the places, whither I've driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again unto the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. He has thoughts of peace. He has thoughts of joy for every one of us. He wants us to have the peace. He wants us to have the joy. He wants us to have the power. That's his mindset. He has thoughts of good things for you and I this morning. Every one of us here, he's got good things for you and I. But the thing of it is, you and I have got to desire that, want that in every way for us to get it. So Lord, help us to reach out for that. All right, let's go to Luke, the 8th chapter. Luke, the 8th chapter, 26th verse. 8 and 26 of Luke. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he had went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, and he fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech you, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion. Because many devils were entered into him, and they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And when there was a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils in out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake where they choked. And when they had fed them, they saw what was done. They fled, and they went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus, found the man that of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he was possessed of the devils was healed. Now, do you believe there's a right now a problem with people having a lot of spirits? If you and I could see what's going on out there, we would probably shudder. We might shrink back. For the very thing, this world has got a lot of control of it by spirits. I'm talking about bad spirits. I'm not talking about good spirits. I'm talking about bad spirits that people have, that the devil has used to control people. That's the reason the world's in such a mess it's in. They don't know what to do, how to do, except the things that the devil wants them to do, and they're in a mess. And this man had many devils. He was legion. He was in a mess. He was sleeping in the tombs, dwelling there and so forth. And Jesus come along. Listen today. The Lord has power to deliver people. Brother Michael Smith was overseas, I believe in Pakistan or wherever it was over there. And he said they were bringing people to him for him to lay hands on and pray that the Lord would literally cast the devils out of these people. And he said it was happening one after another after another after another. I guess he was amazed somewhat at the number of people that was devil possessed. Listen, folks, we've got that right here. We're just not dragging them up to people. We're not bringing them to the benches and to the altars. There's numbers and numbers. There's thousands of people in the United States that are devil possessed. You might not realize it. You might not understand it. But the bottom line is the world is in the depths of sin and degradation. And in the depths of the mess it's in of hatred, wrath, malice, envy, jealousy, because of devils that they have accumulated. Well, the Lord come along and he started working. He cast them out. And it said here that they come back by, and this man that had been devil possessed was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Listen, folks, the Lord's able to give people the right mind. He can heal, he can deliver in such a way that those people can instantly have a mind that will be a blessing to other people, praise God. I guess that was quite a blessing. Quite a shock, maybe. I don't want to put words in my mouth, but the Lord used and worked in a way, and it was quite a touching to him to have the people to bring them up to him. And he pray, and the Lord would deliver one right after another. Tonight or today, if you have or you know somebody that you have wondered if they were devil possessed, there's a good possibility they are. A good possibility. But if you want to see them clothed and in their right mind, you need to bring them to Jesus. You need to start praying for them right now. You need to ask the Lord to touch and heal, deliver and work. Help them to have a mind to seek Jesus. Help them, the Lord, to do things to get their attention. All right, let's go to Ephesians, the 4th chapter, 17th verse. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feelings have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, and the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, after which God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. All right, let's go to Romans 12 and 1. Romans 12 and 1 said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, he's saying here, said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed. Be changed. There's got to be a difference. Listen, when people get saved and they start testifying that they're saved and they're different, there must be a difference. People are not going to pay any attention if you and I are out there saying one thing and acting like the devil. That ain't going to work. We've got to be renewed. We've got to be changed. And that takes Christ, his power, his workings of salvation, sanctification, us giving ourselves to God and letting him bring and give and open up and teach and being in meeting, being in camp meeting and assembly meetings, being in revival meetings, having Bible studies and so forth, and have that where you and I can be taught. Be renewed and be changed. Listen, getting rid of any of that old stuff. Get rid of it. It's been so many years now since I got saved. It's a whole lot different than what it was. But He wants a different person. He wants a be renewed, changed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Oh, the Gentiles. The Gentiles were walking in the vanity, emptiness of their mind. Listen, folks, people are walking around today and they're thinking on stuff that's not worth a hill of beans. That's not any good at all. It don't help nobody for people walking around and thinking this and that, that don't accomplish anything. So consequently, you and I come along and they look at us. We start talking to them and they begin to see there's something different here. It's not the same. Lord, help us to have something to give to the world. Help us to have something that'll be a blessing to the world, that will help them to see that this is a person that has been redeemed, been washed, been changed. They can see it. They can feel it. Help them to know it from the depths. I had a man and a woman live down the street from my business years ago. I loved both of them in the Lord. They were doing what you call shacking up together. And that was before shacking up really got to be shacking up. And they would come down to me, and in my youth, I preached to them, so to speak. And I didn't mince no word, folks. I did flat told them, what you're doing is sin. And you go to hell. I mean, I was a little strong with it. But I let them know it. And they let me know right back. And they never quit coming. They never walked away from me. They let me preach to them, but they let me know. We enjoy what we're doing and we ain't going to change. Well, I don't know what happened to them. The place that they were living, of course, is not even there now. My old business, my station, it's not even there. It's gone too. But the bottom line, you and I need to give them something. They may not want it particularly. They may rebel back at it, so to speak. But if you let them know, probably in more gentle terms than I did, that you're lost, you're going to hell, and be real. I was pretty blunt with them, so to speak. And they took it real well, but they didn't change. But do you just quit? No, because the Lord wants you to let them know they need help. They need help. They need help. All right, let's go to 6th chapter of Luke. This is getting down. That night that I was praying for a message in Holly Hill, the Lord opened up three things to me that totally I had never looked at it that way. That is mercy, love, and forgiveness. Those three things, if you look at them through the scriptures and study them out, you'll find out real quick those three things are an absolute must for you and I to make heaven. We've got to be merciful. We've got to be forgiving, and we've got to love. We got to love God, we got to love man. There is no ifs, ands, buts about it. And like I said, I had known this, but he just kind of come along and just opened it up a little bit more, stronger to me, and I'm going, wow. That's what I mean. He gets to talking to you, and sometimes you just got to sit there and go, wow, thank you. 6:36 of Luke. It says, be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Be ye therefore merciful. Listen, folks, today, how merciful are we? How merciful are we to one another? How merciful are we on our neighbors? How merciful to be on the people on the job, down the street, our relatives, whoever it might be. If they have a problem, and or maybe they reach out, maybe they come against you or so forth, you're supposed to have mercy on them. Supposed to have mercy. Let's go to Proverbs 11 and 17. Proverbs 11 and 17. And it says here, the merciful man doeth good unto his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. And then Matthew 5 and 17, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. If I remember right, I think I'm quoting that right. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Listen today. You say, well, Brother Carl, I'm merciful.
But what happens, like Peter said, what happens if they come back again and again and again and do something to you?
If they slap you a second time or a third time, if they mistreat you, if they do things that they should not be doing, would you be plenty merciful? My daughter done that a number of years ago. I don't know how many old ones remember that. But she comes sliding out of that bench right over there right in the pulpit, and I had to pick her up because Rebecca had taken the other baby out to the nursery. So I'm not the first time, Seth, I've had a baby come climbing in the pulpit with me. But anyway, people do things to people. They can rub them raw over and over and over. Maybe not mean to. Maybe it's a personality. Maybe it's maybe they intend to. But the bottom line is, it said, be ye therefore merciful, even as your Father also is merciful. Listen, I don't know about you folks, but that is a big job. It's going to be hard for you and I to be as merciful, you'd say, as God. But the mind of Christ on forgiveness and mercy and love is to help you and I to have the mind that when these people attack us, when these people do us wrong, when they take our money, when they take our food, when they shoot our relative, whatever it might be, listen, folks, the mind of Christ is to be merciful to them, because they're never going to get no help if you and I don't be merciful to them. We've got to be merciful. Be therefore merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be called the children of God. Oh, they shall obtain mercy. They shall have blessings among. He said over there in Proverbs, it doeth good to him. Doeth good to him. Oh, today, Lord, help us. How merciful are we to other people? I read Abby quite a bit. I'll be sitting there and all of a sudden I'll break out and chuckle. Paige will look at me and she goes, what's that? How did she say it? What's funny, Poppy? Or what? How she says it. In other words, what are you reading that's so exciting? I said, well, it's the way this person asked the question, the way she answered the question. But the bottom line is, people sometimes rub people raw. It happens on the job. It happens in the neighborhood. It happens in the family. Husbands and wives can sometimes just kind of rub one another a little bit. Not the best. How much mercy do we have? Can you have a second round, third round, fourth round of mercy? Are you going to cut them off? Do we want to be cut off? The Lord is merciful. He is a merciful. How many of you have needed mercy? Anybody in here need any mercy from God? How many times have you needed it? One time? Two times? Three times? Four times? I've been around 50 years now. And I got news for you, folks. I've had to have mercy from Christ over and over down through the years. I would make mistakes. I would say the wrong thing. And I would go back to him and I would beg him to have mercy. I made a mistake one time several years ago. And what I usually do is I'll pray for any forgiveness I feel I need and so forth. And then I'll just kind of go along. And sometimes I revisit it to be sure I've done the right, that I'm forgiven. This was back when I had a sciatica, when I evidently tore a ligament or a tendon or something in my leg, and it drove me crazy for weeks. I preached in a wheelchair, I think, for 5 weeks straight. I couldn't even stand up and take prayer requests. I had to do everything sitting down. They met me at the door with a wheelchair, and they put me out of there. After everything done, they put me out of the wheelchair back into the car. Well, I went to the Lord because I couldn't sleep, and that was just one of many nights I slept very little because of pain constantly. And I said, Lord, please. He said, child, yes? What does the Bible teach you? I said, well, the Bible teaches forgiveness. He said, I am the spirit of forgiveness. I am the spirit of mercy.
I am the spirit of love. Now, he just mentioned forgiveness. I'm putting the other two in there. But he is the spirit of all of that. Listen, when people think about Christ, what do they think about? They think about a man that went around helping people, blessing people, delivering people, healing people, doing all kinds of things by love, praise God. That was him. But he also had a lot of mercy. If you go through your scriptures, what does it say over and over when people approached him? What did they do? Blind Bartimaeus, what did he do? He said, Lord, let's see, how did he put it? Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. You ever cry out for mercy? If you don't, I want to encourage you to start asking for mercy. Brother Sammons, when he got saved that night, he had prayed, wasn't getting anywhere. Nothing was happening. And finally, he said, Lord, if I can do anything for me, have mercy on me. And that's when it happened right then. The mercy of God, and our mercy also needs to bring about something quickly. When people are wanting mercy, when they're asking for mercy, we need to say yes. We need to be merciful before, we need to be merciful after, but we need to have plenty of mercy in every way. Because folks, you're not going to live in a perfect world. There's going to be people in the congregation that might rub you wrong. I've had people do me wrong. I've had ministers do me wrong, I felt like. But the bottom line is, I still had to have mercy. It didn't always come easy at first, but I'd have to pray and seek the Lord. Lord, help me. I want your mind on this, Lord. What do you think about this? What is your mind? Be merciful, child. Be merciful. There was a minister that was at a family reunion. And she was there, and there was a cousin come up. And I guess this minister hadn't seen this person quite a while, and they were just kind of ragged and tagged and torn, I guess. I'm trying to be nice about it. And they looked down on them, and they were actually looking down in eyes that were not merciful. They were standing there watching this person. And the Lord spoke to them. Said, where would you be if it hadn't been for me? Where would you be? Listen, you need to be merciful to them just like I was to you. Listen, you wasn't no saint before you got saved. You need to be merciful, child. You need to be merciful. Listen, folks, we might have been around 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 and 60 and 70 years. We might have a long life of living for God. But listen, if it hadn't been for God, we wouldn't be where we're at. Amen. If it wasn't for his mercy, if it wasn't for his love and his pity and his compassion, I'm going to tell you, I thank God every morning. Every time I start my day of prayer, whether it's 1 o'clock in the morning, 12:30, 3, 4, 5, whatever, I say, I thank you for salvation and sanctification, your love, mercy, pity, compassion, grace, strength, blessings, health. And then I say, Lord, I thank you for a mind to serve God. Yeah. I'm thankful for the mind to want to serve God. But this morning, how merciful are we? Oh, if somebody does you wrong. And there could be some times. I've had some pretty rough stuff be done to me. It's been hard. They've been tears. Nearly have a nervous breakdown over it. But the bottom line is, the Lord, when it all boils down, how did they treat him? What did they do to him? He didn't have no cakewalk. He didn't have all roses and no thorns. He had a triumphant entry. But once he had the triumphant entry, from there on, when it all started and they started after him, folks, it was not a pleasant thing. He suffered and suffered and suffered. Why? Because of your soul and mine. He told me that day in that vision. He looked at me and he pointed at me. He said, I died for you, child. He died for every one of us individual. If we were the only people on earth, he died for you to take you to heaven, praise God. That's a big price this morning for you and I. He paid a horrible price. He done it because he loved you. He done it because he has mercy on you. And he does it because he... Oh, this morning. All right, let's look at a couple more places here. Let's go to first. Now I want Micah 6 and 8. Micah 6 and 8 here. I'm about there, but I ain't quite there.
Micah 6 now. I love this reading right in here. It said, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Now, there's a lot of preaching right here in this one scripture. But said to love mercy, to love it. Now, if you would love it, I would think that'd mean you'd want to do it almost automatically. Just do it almost automatically. To love mercy. Would you say this morning, could you say this morning that you love mercy? Could you say that? That I love mercy. I love to be merciful to people. I tell you what, it'd stop a lot of problems. It would stop the killings. It would stop the rioting. It would stop the destruction of buildings. I have been literally aghast when I've seen some of the things these people were doing months back. I mean, going into Walmart and just totally just carrying things out of Walmart and just tearing things up and taking things and stealing things and burning things in different places. It's been sad. It's been sickening. If they had the mind of Christ, they wouldn't be doing that. All right, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 15. Let's wrap it up here. Said, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. In Romans 12 and 20 and 21, it said, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, you shall heap coals of fire upon his head. Listen, folks, today, we're going to, an enemy is somebody that people don't really want around if they're doing them wrong. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Be merciful. Be pitiful. Our enemies, you say, well, I don't have no enemies, Brother Carl. Live long enough, you will. You'll have somebody that'll turn on you. You'll have somebody tell you one day they like you and they're your best friend, and the next day they'll shoot you in the back. I've had it happen. I've had people that I thought was my best friend or one of my best friends, and they would turn on me. They would shake their finger in my face. They would back me up, charging me with stuff, back me up against the fireplace in their living room and not be nice to me. There was no mercy at all. No matter how you looked at it, there was no mercy. But I had to have mercy on them. No matter what they did to me, I had to have mercy on them. That person is not with the saints anymore. They've left. A few years back, they walked away. But if thy enemy, if he hunger. Now this to me is about as serious thing that could happen. Sister Catherine Williams, some of you know her maybe, some of you don't. Most of you probably don't. But you've heard about her. She had a brother. Brother married for a second time. That woman, I believe it was, had a son. And he was good to his stepson as far as I know. The stepson wanted to borrow the car. And the stepfather needed the car for a little bit and told him, said, if you'll let me use it for just a little bit, I'll bring it back and you can have it. Okay. So the stepfather went and done what he done. He come back and pulled in the garage and had a balcony. And that son was up on that balcony with a pistol, I believe it was, or a rifle, and the man got out and he shot him dead in cold blood right there. Killed him. My sister Captain Williams made the statement, said, folks, said, that was hard for me to forgive. That was hard to have mercy. I'm putting things, mercy in here too. That's hard to have mercy, have forgiveness. She said, I had to pray down the spirit of forgiveness. I had to do that. I didn't understand when I heard that what she thought about it. I know it now. I've been there, done that now. I prayed it down, and the Lord has helped me. But I'm going to tell you, folks, how much mercy do we have this morning?
Somebody walked up and killed your wife in cold blood. Shot your child in cold blood. Now, Brother Carl, that won't happen. It could. We got a bunch of crazy people out there, folks, and they got guns. And they'll do things, and they won't spare a bit. Road rage is an all-time high. You can accidentally make somebody mad, they'll start firing at your car. Might be you. But the bottom line is, the worst scenario to me you could about come up with in some ways is somebody kill your family member graveyard dead. That's rough. The shock that we've had out of Louisiana, 3 people, one of them my cousin, dead in a car wreck. Another man I worked with, Scott Miller, dead by a heart attack. And now then, Brother Keith Williams is gone by a heart attack. Listen, folks, those things are hard, too. It's a shock to the system. It stuns you. I couldn't wrap my mind around it yesterday morning when I got the text that it happened. I couldn't get a hold of it. But he's gone. But thank God nobody shot him to death. Nobody beat him to death. But how much mercy do we have? I want you to take the most horrible scenario that you can think in your mind, and I want you to think about that and say, can I have mercy on that? Can I be merciful? Well, if you struggle with it, I know a man up there that'll help you with it. He said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. His mindset is to be merciful. If he wasn't merciful to you and I, we wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't have what we've got. We wouldn't be blessed like we're blessed. We wouldn't be shouting and singing like we're shouting and singing. We wouldn't have anything but his mercy. Listen, folks, you walked over his blood. You trampled it. You used his name in vain. You've done all kind of things when you were out there in sin. And he kept coming back. He dealt with me, I don't remember how many months. Worked with me. And I wasn't yielding very well. And poor Brother Lloyd had come down there that night and he dealt with me for 3 hours trying to get me to humble my heart. And I wouldn't do it. He said, finally in his frustration, he said, I believe if you just get out here and pray and ask forgiveness, he would save you. But I wouldn't do it. But in his mercy, he climbed in the car with me, the Lord did, and he rode home with me that night. And I wanted to be a multi-millionaire, and I had my sights set for that, and I was going that direction. And the Lord spoke to me that night, and he said, child, you can be ever so rich, and I can take it all away in a moment's time. That stunned me. That got my attention. His mercy, see? He didn't quit dealing with me. He didn't quit calling me. Thank you, Jesus. You didn't quit. Listen, folks. If somebody does us wrong and the Lord deals with us to go talk to them and work with them, can we do it? I'm not trying to throw stones. I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I'm using myself as an example. I've been through some of this stuff and it's not easy, but I know he's able to help you to have a merciful mind and a merciful way about you. The Lord wants you. Then he told me, Brother Lloyd had told me, he said, to this day, I don't remember exactly, but I believe he had either a cousin. I don't think it was a brother. I think it was a cousin that was about 18 or 19, about my age, and he had gotten killed, I believe, in a car wreck not too long before that. And the Lord brought that back to me. He said, you can go out in eternity now. That gets your attention. His mercy. His mercy, he didn't quit. Are you dealing with somebody? Are you trying to help somebody? And maybe you're getting this. Maybe you're getting slammed door. Maybe somebody's saying, I don't want you around. But does your mercy and your love and your pity and your compassion and your forgiveness keep reaching out saying, I want to help you. Please come to church. I've been turned down so many times asking people to come to church. But the Lord still wants you to invite them to meeting. All right, let's wrap it up. 2nd chapter of James, 8th verse, and we'll be through. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if ye have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all.
For he that saith, do not commit adultery, also said, do not kill. Now, if you commit no adultery, yet if you kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that has shewed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Listen, folks, it said, for he shall have judgment without mercy that has shewed no mercy. In other words, if we don't show mercy, we're going to be in trouble, folks. There ain't no way to go around it, get around it. I can't sugarcoat it, put a nice, beautiful red rose on top. I can't do any of that and make it any better. It's right there in the Word. He said, you're going to have to be merciful if you're going to have mercy. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment, because when we have the mercy, that is rejoicing against the condemnation and the judgment and the destruction of us or others. Oh, today, Lord, help us. Lord, help us to have plenty of mercy. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Thank the Lord for his mercy this morning. Pray for me.